Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I have something I believe is from God. This message will change your life forever. We're going to be talking about today about living free as Jesus' disciple. If you apply this message before you leave this house today, you will be free to serve Jesus as his disciple forever. We're going to read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Huh? They're going to get it there. Don't worry about it. It's coming. It's coming. I know it's coming. Oh, my. It's going to come. Have no fear. It's coming. There we go. We're going to go to the next verse. It's all right. Give our people up there a hand. They have a lot of stuff to do. Okay. Here it comes. Here we go. Indeed. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised, he is a debtor to keep the whole law. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offenses of the cross has ceased. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. God bless you. You can be seated. I think we're ready to see something special here this morning. I'm going to set it up for you because I think I probably did something out of order. And so I'll set it up for you. There's something that I want you to view that will help lead into my message that will give you an opportunity to see the message today. We're going to talk about probably the most difficult thing for us to do. And that's to allow forgiveness to have its proper place. Are you guys ready up there to do it? Are we good? So, here we go. Take the lights.
But the police had an eye with the 12-year-old.
There really isn't a whole lot I can say after what you've witnessed, because this is real. It happened in real time just a few weeks ago. But I want to spend the next, probably this week and maybe next week, talking about probably the most difficult thing for us to do, even though we need to do it, and that's to forgive. There are so many things that this real life story could stir up in our hearts in relationship to things that we have either held onto or refused to acknowledge, that have kept us in bondage. But the key to real living is activating the gift of repentance and to embrace forgiveness. I have three things I'll ask you about, and then we'll move forward. First of all, do you find it difficult to repent for sins you have committed before God and His people? How about number two? Is your life on hold waiting for someone to acknowledge the sin they have committed against you so you can move on? Or how about number three? Have you realized that there is no greater gift to give or to receive than repentance? The Holy Spirit directed me toward this, because if you're going to live free, there's only way you can live free is when all accounts are cleared and everything that needs to be taken care of is being taken care of. And before this service is over, without coaxing anybody, without somebody to kind of, you know, pat you on the back or to massage your ego, we're going to get an opportunity to take care of some stuff. And I believe God will do it. Well, repentance brings refreshment and release. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus, who was preached to you before. Two words I want to take out of that. The time of refreshing will come. You will feel different. You'll feel refreshed. You'll feel renewed like you never have before once you receive this message in your heart and allow it to take its work. And then it says, and that He may send Jesus, who has preached to you. Jesus cannot occupy your heart when there's bitterness and unforgiveness there. There's no room. You say, well, wait a minute. I was really wronged. Well, we're going to walk through some scriptures that will help us deal with some of those issues. First of all, repentance is often feared because it is grossly misunderstood. Many fear it because it is the acknowledgement of failure or imperfection. I got news for you. You're not perfect, and neither am I. Or how about this? I'm not perfect, but here's what we think and why we don't do it. I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as you are. Oh, let that work in your spirit for a minute. You will find that avenue, street, real quickly. And that's the reason why we don't repent. Because you say, well, I'm not perfect, but honey, I ain't bad as you, so I'm okay. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God doesn't put it on a scale. If you only tell lies every now and then, you're still a liar. If you only cheat once in a while, you're still a cheater. And if you're every time you kind of step out of bounds now and then, you're still a whoremonger. And if you don't know what that is, look it up in the Bible. It'll tell you. It is neglected or ignored due to pride. And the third thing I tell you about is it has the power to heal with words of acknowledgement that will bring darkness to light. It pulls the cover off of all the stuff we try to cover up. What about this? It is God's goodness, the Bible says this, that leads us to repentance. It's not the fact that people beat you up and finally get you to admit how wrong you are. God has been good to all of us in spite of all of our crazy things. Come on. Did the sun stop shining on your side of the street ever since you've been bitter at folks? Did you lose your job because of your bitterness? In some cases you probably did, but in most cases you didn't. You should have. But the deal is this, that God has been good to us to give us a chance to repent, to realize that it's not of our own merit, it's not of any goodness that we've done, it's because of what Jesus has already done. Amen. And so He's bringing us to a place of wholeness, of forgiveness. And it works like this, that Restoration can only come after we realize something has been broken and needs to be fixed. I can be a broken person, you can be a broken person, but the opportunity to be fixed today is God says, you can be fixed. You can be whole. You can be the person you've always thought you could never be. And I believe God is going to do that. I know he's going to do it today. No amount of cover-up or compensation will replace the need for repentance. Ever try to buy your way back into somebody's grace? You know, I think I'll do something nicer. I'll buy her some flowers, buy her some candy. Guys, don't ever do this. If you're married, do not go out and try to bribe your wife into getting back in good grace. It does not work. She'll take the candy. Don't let me fool you. She will take the candy. She'll take this other type of stuff. But I'll tell you what, until you say forgive me and knowledge, it is still in play. Really? I say, save yourself some money and tell the truth and get it over with. Well, healing is only possible when there has been disclosure of that which has caused pain. Now, pain is an interesting thing for all of us because some of us have a greater pain threshold than others. You know what I mean? I mean, just in the physical realm, some people, they stick their, oh my God, I'm dying, please Jesus, help me. You know, I will put a tourniquet on my finger. You're a drama king or queen. You're not going to die. But other folks, you can cut them, hit them, this type of thing, and they just bounce back, like one of those things you tip over, they go right back to where they were before. But it doesn't mean that there's not a problem. So you're looking at people's reaction because they didn't, go out and get an Uzi and blow you away, that they're okay. That's not true. It really isn't. The greatest thing that happens with people is when people become indifferent and cold and you don't even recognize something's changed. Let me help you with this. To repent has nothing to do with religion. What does that mean? If I repent... Now, this is one of the misnomers, I think, is just accept Jesus as your personal Savior and everything will be fine. That is not true. It really isn't. The Bible says, confess. See, we add some things in there that make it so much more palatable, accepting Jesus. Well, of course I accept you. Come on in my life. You got all the good stuff. I got the bad stuff. It's a good deal. Well, let's look at this. It is more than to acknowledge of something's wrong, and it has little to do within the common vernacular of getting your act together. Oh man, I used to be this, and I used to go out all the time. I got my act together. I don't run with the people I used to run with, and I don't smooth things out. I put the weed aside for a while. I'm just trying to get my head together. Even though it's legal, I can get it now, but I didn't put that aside for now. I'm going to come back to it later on, but after I... You're a hot mess. You really are. Because you haven't given up anything. You haven't acknowledged anything being wrong. You say, well, I just need to take a pause. Your life is on pause. But once we hit play again, you're going to be the same person you were before. Well, once it is understood, it's the most liberating thing that we can ever do. Now, I want to be accurate with this. As some of you know, the New Testament was written in Greek, and I'm not a, quote, Greek scholar, but I do know enough to take some words that were used at that particular time to help us get an understanding. And so I had to make slides out of these about what it means. There are several Greek words that will define repentance. First one is metanoia, which means the change your mind or purpose, a reversal of thinking. You used to think it was this way, but now you believe it's that way. Now, let me use these two words. Think and believe, they're not the same. What you're thinking is based upon various things you've had happen in your life, and your thinking is controlled or is manipulated by the things you've experienced in life. But you believe on a postulate that is greater than yourself. That belief is based upon a finality of a work that's been done, and belief is based upon someone who is higher than you that has authority over you. You get that? We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he is Lord of all. He's the king of the universe. That everything he says is reliable. Everything he did is accountable. And that's why we believe on him. And so the deal is here, that we look at this particular term here, is to change your mind and your purpose. If you still have your mind, say, well, I'm going to follow Jesus for a while, but you know, I just kind of think there's a few things that he could have done better. Don't bother. If you think that Jesus needs you on his posse, he does not. Go join somebody else. Any of you remember Bhagwan Sriranjesh Neesh when he was in Oregon? Anybody remember him? You know, all the people that went out there and they're going, they're doing all these crazy things, and all the Rolls Royces and, you know, what was it, Rosh, what the thing back over in Antelope? What was the name of that thing? The Rajni Center, whatever it was. And these people just danced around for days. They danced themselves into a coma. They really did. Danced themselves crazy. Where's Bhagwan now? Bhagwan dead. And he ain't resurrected. But they believe that he was the Christ incarnate and this type of thing. A lot of things that you have believed, they're over with. Well, let me get to the next one. Metamelomi means to feel or carry regret. Judas is the prime example. He felt regret so much to the point that he realized, first of all, he goes back to the people he got his 30 pieces of silver from and says, take this money back. I'm really feeling bad about it. If you take the money back, I can feel better about myself because that means that I just really didn't sell. Jesus, I'll take your money back so it's like it'll wipe everything clean. He found out, no, he wouldn't do it. So he did like suicide bombers do. I want you to listen to me carefully. Have you noticed lately when people do really bad things, they shoot somebody, they shoot their mama and their daddy, and they shoot this other person, what do they do next? Do you ever wonder why that is? It is the devil's perfect plan, if you fall into it, that somehow you can control your destiny and the guilt will go away once you pull the trigger. Oh, honey, you just started the worst thing you ever could start. And the devil can talk you into it. But part of it is with your own free will that you want to be free from what you've done without repenting. Repenting is the only thing that can save you. The bullet cannot save you. Hanging yourself cannot save you. It only makes things worse. And I'm saying that to people that I can guarantee you there are at least probably a half dozen people in this room right now that have contemplated suicide in the last week. Oh, it's just too tough. It's just too hard. I don't have any money. My girlfriend left me. My dad left me. I was this and this type of thing. And you figure that's the only way. I want to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. But if you repent, God says, I will cleanse you, I will renew you, I'll restore you, I'll bring you back to where you've never been before. Number three, epistropho means to turn around, to return, to have a sincere change of heart. Turn around. First, you've got to admit you're going the wrong direction. It's not like some men, I won't say all men, some men who are lost don't want to admit it. Oh, I know if we keep driving here, we'll get there pretty soon. But honey, it says, I don't care what that says. I don't care if it says we should be going the other direction. I feel if we go down here just a few more exits, you'll be to California before you figure it out. The way your life will change, you need to turn it around and do the very opposite of what you are doing right now. Do you know you could get saved today if you're willing to admit that you're going the wrong direction? Well, that kind of sets the stage. It's a radical departure from thoughts and actions once held in the past, and that simply means this. Well, it includes the entire being, the mind, and the will, and the emotions come into alignment and to agreement. Because here's the problem is that even though we're a trichotomous person, mind, will, and emotions. Number three takes over number one and two. It's based on how we feel. I just don't feel it in my heart to let go. Your emotions will get you killed. They will destroy your life. I just don't feel like doing it. When I feel like it, that's when I'll do it. Honey, your mind, God gave you a mind that says if what you're doing is wrong. He gave you a will to change your mind. But if you allow your emotions to override both of those two, you're in trouble. What does that look like? It results in new thoughts, new beliefs, and new words. I would never convince anyone to say something that's not true. But by the confession of your mouth, that's what determines your destiny. And the devil has you saying, or I should say, you agree with the devil and you say certain things like this, oh, I'll never change. Oh, this is how I'm wired. This is just the way I do things. And you buy into that particular situation, and then the acts will follow. You will say, well, if you're never going to change, well, we might as well just go out and let's do it. Let's talk about Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verse 8, was serious after he received the message of Jesus. Luke 19, verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I have half of my goods. I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I restore fourfold. Now, some of you may not know the story. Let me just fast forward it for you real quickly. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He worked for the IRS. Now, I know they didn't have IRS back then. For those you need to have, you know, kind of equated to. Tax collectors were notorious for skimming a little off the top for themselves. But Zacchaeus met Jesus one day. And the Bible says he's a little short guy, so he climbs a tree. Ain't nothing wrong being short. You folks laughing. I am 6'5", and my wife is not 6'5". I ain't gonna tell you how tall she is. You can ask her, if she doesn't slap you, you'll know. But, you know, but tall guys like shorter gals, you know? They just do. Love you, baby. Anyway, so he comes down out of the tree, and he meets Jesus, because Jesus has an eyeball contact with him and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to come to your house. Now, you need to understand what this is all about. Jesus, the Son of God, going to go to a tax collector's house? There are some people in this room right now that don't believe that Jesus ever would want to come to your house because of your reputation. You going to hang with me? Jesus, I don't know about that. I don't think that's going to work for you. He said, I need to come to your house. And the fact that Jesus came to Zacchaeus' house changed his thinking and his belief system forever. And so because of this conversion, there's some things that he put into action that Jesus said, now if you're going to come in my kingdom, I want you to give half of your goods to the poor. And if you've done anything that's been bad, I want you to restore it fourfold. Jesus did not say do that. But you know what happened? Because of the conversion of Zacchaeus' thinking, all of a sudden, because of where he was coming from, he says, I need to tell myself that I've really been saved. And if you've really been saved or really met Jesus, you will do something you've never done before. You will say things you've never said before. And part of it needs to be said out of your mouth, oh, forgive me, let go of these particular things. That's how salvation works. That's how you get free. The Lord didn't say to him, Zacchaeus, I want you to prove to me right now that you're going to do your life differently. I want to let you know the Holy Spirit will trump that any day of the week, and he'll say to you, he's speaking to people right now, says, you know, the way that you will find out that you've really been converted is that you will willfully, of your own volition, you will stop doing this and you're going to start doing that. And I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about things that are positive that will let you know that you've been changed. Okay, I'm going to put it in simple words. Some of y'all are just plain stingy, okay? And your pocketbook needs to be saved. And generosity needs to be poured out in you. And the best thing that will happen to you is all of a sudden, instead of you hoarding stuff, you'll start giving things to other folks without them asking for it, and you'll be happy because you did it. Somebody say amen. Amen. That will be your salvation point. Okay. I know a few of you, you'll get there. Serious repentance will cost you something of value. It is a gift that allows us intimacy, restoration, freedom, and overpower the enemy. And lastly, it's a truly repentant person will turn from everything that displeases God to the things that please him. Can I work that phrase just for a moment? This is a tough one. Some of you, I don't know whether I can use this term or not. I'm going to use it anyway. You're a believer, but you don't believe what you believe. Because if you believe it, you'd be doing it. Right now, what you believe is what you're doing. If you're not doing it, you don't believe it. Oh boy. Is that a mouthful? But it's a truthful expression of saying that if you truly believe, then why aren't you doing it? He said, oh, I believe that God wants me to be a witness in the kingdom of God and share my life with other folks. Do you share it? No. Some of your people that you work with would be shocked to know you're a Christian. They would be mortified to know that you went to church today. What did you do this weekend? Well, I sat around the house, cleaned up the house, washed, do whatever, this type of thing. You don't mention church, God, or anything. You know why you don't? Because you're ashamed. Ooh, I know this is burning, Jesus. I want you to be free to say, you know what? We went to church, we praised God, and thank God, I'm so thankful because he's a part of my life. Matter of fact, Jesus is my life. Once you said it, it's out there. Now you got to live up to it. Glory. Thank you. I just have a few minutes left, so I'm not going to get all the way through this today, and you're probably glad too. Anyway. Repentance is a manifestation of the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. Jesus is the only one who can do it. Well, here's a couple of things that will help. Repentance does not displace the grace of God's operation in our life. Because some people feel, well, it's all by grace, and God knows I'm this way, and God's grace will cover me. No. Here we go. God's grace will carry us until we come to the place where we realize the need for repentance. You know, something. Some of you have been riding on the grace train long enough. I'm here to make a stop. Grace has carried you this far. Now, the song Amazing Grace is a pretty amazing, it's a great song. And for those of you who don't know it, it was written by a person who was a slave owner. Oh yeah. And he didn't think there was anything wrong with having slaves, this type of thing. He had a revelation from God. And somehow God got the message to him. He says, you know, what you're doing, it's not right. And so he penned out the song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And what he put in there for himself was, that saved a wretch like me. I was a wretch, didn't even know it until the Holy Spirit, God spoke to me and told me that what I'm doing is wrong. Grace has carried me this far. Grace is carrying us right now. Anybody believe that? That's the good news. The greater news is now repentance has come along to allow you to be propelled into a whole different dimension of living. That's living free, that's by not only by the grace of God, but it's by the power of God working in and through you. Which simply means this. There is nothing we can do to make God love us more. So if you think, oh, if I repent today, God will love me more. Not true. God loved you while you were still in your sins. God loved you before you repent. God loves you after you repent. So if you think, No, the reason why you don't feel the love right now is because of the guilt that's in your life. When you're guilty, you don't want to talk to the person that you've done something against. You avoid them. Here's another little piece of this. When we are operating outside of repentance, we're living in fear, doubt, and unbelief. Those are the three things. I always bring those things up because it works so well. Let me show you how that works. If someone walked in this building right now that you had something against or did something against you, your whole countenance would change. Someone that did something against you or something you did against them, all of a sudden the party is over. Depression will take over. You're hoping they don't see you. You're hoping you can get out before they see you. You know, ever been? You're getting ready to step on the bus. You say, oh, no, I can't take that. I'll be late to work. I ain't getting on that bus with her. Mm-mm, she'll remember what happened. And that's how we live. And you know how you get free from that? Repent. Deal with it. Get it over with. Pretty amazing. Well, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we should respond quickly and humbly. While we live in pain and guilt only because we will not acknowledge our wrong and make it right with confession. Besides that, before we acknowledge our wrong, we must be willing to turn from it. I know you've had this happen before. I think all of us have. We'll have people that say, I'm sorry I did such and such. I'm so sorry I was late and this type of thing. Oh, you know, my bad. And guess what? The next time, are they late? Mm-hmm. Until you're ready to be on time, don't tell me how late you are. Do you get my point? Because you think that if you acknowledge you're late, it's all good. But you haven't made up your mind, are you going to be early or are you going to be on time ever again? You just want to get me off your back and you want to feel good for the moment. But I want to let you know, unless you've changed your mind, nothing has changed. You're going to hate this, but I need to say it. Don't bother coming to the altar today unless you are done with what you're doing. Amen. Pastor, what's wrong with you? I need relief from the guilt. No, you don't. You just want to feel better. You don't want to change. Ooh, yeah. This is not an aspirin. Temporary relief. Oh, I know somebody got that one. Yes! Thank you, Holy Spirit. Does it mean you're going to be perfect from here on in? No. But the fact of the matter is, when it happens again, you'll be quick to acknowledge it and you'll get it taken care of. You won't live in la-la land. I got a word from God. Stop pretending. Oh, Jesus. Well, living free as a disciple, I'll make these last two points. I'm going to end a little early today. Living free as a disciple of Jesus, we embrace a lifestyle of repentance. And what that looks like is contrition and humility are the guideposts to those who walk in repentance. You know what that means? It's the anchor piece of those who live in repentance. If we want to truly hear from God, we will repent. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You should know this by heart. Those of you who have been in church a long time. It says this: if my people who are called by my name, if you're called a Christian, that it counts you, even those in the Old Testament, will humble themselves, number one, pray, number two, seek my face, number three. What about number four? Turn from your wicked ways. See, and then the Bible says, if you turn from your wicked ways, then this is what God says: I will hear from heaven, number one. I will forgive their sins, number two. But here's the part we don't really understand: I will heal their land. What does heal their land mean? Well, in that particular context, there were some things going on with the land that Israel had possession of. And they weren't productive, and they weren't producing any things that were going on. There's also rampant, things that were going on in the culture. But I want to know, what territory do you have in your life that needs to be healed? Don't try to call it out to me now. But there's things in your life that will never get healed until you repent. It'll never be fixed until you're ready to deal with it. What does that mean? Here's my last point as the group comes up here. We'll finish this next week. Pride is the number one enemy of godly repentance. And I'll tell you real quickly what that looks like. It will cause us to think that we are better than we actually are. I already talked about the folks that you think. But do you remember the old philosophy, I'm okay, you're okay? I won't look at your bad stuff, you don't look at mine? That doesn't work. Second point I'd like to make is this: it will deceive us into thinking that we are not at fault. Some of you are here today and you believe that you are the person that you are because your mama didn't love you enough. Or because you had a teacher in school that was too hard on you. Or I could go through a whole litany of things, but that is your belief system, and so it's really not your fault. Look at me. That's a lie. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you are no exception. Neither am I. Last little point I'm going to make. It will cause us to look for something or someone that we can blame and shift the responsibility to. I don't know who your scapegoat is, but I will tell you this much: it won't work. Let me take you back to Israel, maybe in saying things you don't remember because you weren't there, neither was I. One of the things they would have in their country, for all their sins, they would bring a blameless lamb, and the priests would come and they would bestow all their sins upon the lamb, and they would sacrifice the lamb and they would burn up the lamb, and that would be the way that they would, their sins would be forgiven. Jesus was a perfect lamb. He's already been the sacrifice for us. There's no other lambs that are going to be given. Today we put our hope and trust in him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to end the service a little differently than we have in the past. So my ministry workers, just hang tough today. I don't want you to pray for anybody. You say, what? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus is about to speak to you, and the only person he wants to hear from is you. And that means that in this last song that we're going to sing, because you need to repent or you need to get something right with God, when we stand and sing, no one's going to coax you out of your seat. If you feel like you're okay and you walk out the door, I can't judge you for that. But I know the Holy Spirit is saying some things to folks right now. That this is your opportunity to get right with God. This is how it's going to work. We're going to sing this song, and if this is the first time of you ever making a decision to follow Jesus, if you want to take care of that particular thing, before anybody prays with you, I want you to come to God and just tell Him what you need to tell Him. I'm sorry. There's no perfect prayer that we can tell you to repeat after me. But I will tell you this much, you need to know that Jesus has taken care of everything that needs to happen in your life, and He will forgive you. So for the sake of knowing what's going on, and we will talk with you after you prayed, not pray with you, I want you to come to the right if you're coming to Jesus for the first time. I want you to come to the left if you're just getting something settled with God where you need to let go of some stuff. We'll finish this sermon next week, but today is some day for you because it's really fresh in your spirit. So, you know what? I need to forgive some people because my life is rotten at this point. The bitterness is about to take me out. But those people who will be coming just because of walk the right here, just stand here before God, kneel before God, whatever you need to do. Lay on the floor before God. I don't care. Whatever it takes for you to get right with Jesus, you need to do that. And after a moment or two, then we'll come and just find out a way we can assist you. But first of all, it's just you and Jesus. Nobody's going to mess with you. Nobody's going to try to do anything to you. Because that's how solemn, this is how precious this moment is. Now the devil right now is telling you, oh, don't go up there, just a few more minutes, you can get out here. That's a lie, and he's a liar. Everyone stand to your feet right now, and as we sing the song, you just go to my right or to my left, doesn't matter. Just step out. Don't wait for anybody else. Don't wait for anybody.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.